Welcome to Massonomics, the world's strongest podcast. Find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Massonomics. Make sure you go visit Massonomics.com. There you'll find the rest of our powerful content. While you're there, check out our store and buy yourself some of that sweet Massonomics gear.
We don't do that because we care about our audience. We don't suck.
All right, ladies and dudes and lady dudes, we are here in the basement of Massonomics Studio. How's it going, guys?
Fantastic.
Good.
We are about, 14 hours post the state APF powerlifting meet.
Post meet.
Tanner is feeling okay.
Right? Yeah, I feel pretty good. This is the best I've ever felt after a meet.
Really?
Yeah.
Does that mean you just didn't go hard enough, probably?
Kind of. Like, we were mentioning that earlier. I think the reason that I feel so good is because I didn't select heavy enough attempts. I wouldn't say that I didn't select heavy enough attempts, but none of them were, like, 100% attempts.
Yeah.
Like, I had more.
You weren't, like, near the threshold, really.
They were PRs, but just not
100%. They were big PR. You know, front squat, it was a 39-pound PR for me.
That's crazy.
And I probably still could have done more. I mean, that's easy to say, but I probably, you know, there's probably 10 or 15 more pounds there, so.
Because you hit what, 585?
Right? Yeah, I went, opener was 529, which is very easy, which it should be.
Yeah.
My second attempt was 551, which was a PR for me. That's 5 pounds more than I've ever squatted, so that's why I chose 551 on my second, just to get a PR for sure, and it still felt very easy, so then... the guy that was kind of handling me, that was wrapping my knees and stuff like that, he kept saying that I should do 600. Mm-hmm. And like all through warm-ups and through first attempt and after the second attempt, he was really pushing for me to go 600. And I was just like, man, that 551 was just 5 pounds more than I've ever done in my life on any form of squat. I was like, I don't think I want to try 50 more pounds, you know?
Uh-huh.
So 584, which I took, which ended up, you know, being a huge PR for me and a hit, I kind of decided to choose that number because it's six plates. Mm-hmm. In my head, I was like, yeah, six, you know, six plates, and it's not quite biting off as much as 600, and it was a pretty good choice. It wasn't super easy, but I probably still could have done a little bit more. But that was the only one of my three where I felt like, you know, it was really pushing the limit.
And from the looks of the lift, like, you know, 584 went pretty good. But, like, 600 could have probably happened, but that would have probably been the mark you wanted to be on. Like,
yeah.
That would have put you right at that line.
Yeah, 584 on the squat, I was happy with that choice. The 600, you know, I don't necessarily want to do a squat where I like almost die or fail on a I don't mind finishing with a little left in the tank, as long as I'm hitting PRs and finishing with more in the tank. If you can just do that
always,
I think that's
eventually you'll squat 10,000 pounds.
There's no end.
I want to go back to, what about, you said you had somebody handling you. Was that something you had lined up ahead of time?
Yeah.
Or were you just like the day that you're like, oh, fuck, no, who's going to wrap my knees?
Has this man handled you before, and is that why?
How many men have handled you?
It depends, like, on what you consider man versus boy. Like, what the age cutoff is.
It depends on what state you live in.
No, it was, I kind of lined it up the week before. The reason I wanted that is because I'm wrapping my knees. Otherwise, I don't feel like that's very necessary for me. I mean, maybe it could still help to have someone help you pick numbers and everything, but I kind of had my numbers down. So the biggest thing was someone to wrap my knees, because I can't do that effectively myself.
Yeah.
I never wrap my knees. I don't know what I'm doing. And this guy does wrap knees, and he did a really good job wrapping my knees.
By good job, you mean it really fucking hurt?
It did hurt really bad, and maybe it hurt less than last year just because I knew a little bit of what to, you know.
Yeah.
It hurt the same, but I just knew better what to expect. Mm-hmm. So I was a little more prepared for it. But yeah, it fucking hurts still. And like the backs of my knees are bruised pretty bad. And he had it so, I mean, it felt like my knees were in casts. Like if you just stood up, if you just, someone did it, you know, that's never had their knees wrapped before. If he did that to you, you would stand up and be like, oh, my knee is not bendable. This could never bend. But then you go and put, you know, 500-600 pounds on your back or whatever, it finds a way to bend.
Yeah.
But it did feel like my knees were in cast. But that's why I had them, because I was knee wrapping, and helped a lot. Like, that's kind of a shitty job to do, too, is to wrap someone's knees, because it's stressful. Because you have to do it.
There's a really serious time element
to that, to do it right. You don't want to do it too early and have someone stand there and watch, like, two or three other lifters go.
While their legs turn purple.
Exactly. And you also don't want to be behind the eight ball and have the judge call out, well, bar's loaded, and you're still, like, finishing wrapping the first knee.
Yeah.
Then, like, the lifter's getting super nervous, and you're getting super nervous.
Yeah.
So it's not that fun of a job, but he did a really good job of it.
Right on.
But I kind of, we threw that together the week before.
Yeah.
He on Instagram, almost like as a, kind of like a joke, said, well, I'll wrap your knees. And I said, no, that's, yes, do that, actually, yeah.
Did he do, like, Larry's, or?
He didn't do Larry's, because Larry and I were in the same flight, only a few apart, so Ross wrapped Larry's.
Yep.
And their first one, they didn't have the timing quite right, so Larry had to stand there and watch, like, a couple people go, and he was, like, walking around, he's like, oh, I can't feel my feet.
Yeah.
You know? But it was his first attempt, and he still hit it real easy. So, then they had the timing down after that.
And I suppose a lot of that depends on how the lifts in front of you go, too. I mean, like, it's not like if they're just popping them through.
Right.
That's a totally different story than if you have, like, three guys in front of you that fucking got it, that fiddle fuck around getting ready.
Yep.
And then got to really, and then really grind.
Yep. You know? Yep, for sure. And the other difference is if there's a big change of weight between each attempt and mono height, and then in
and out,
in versus out. Like, if they have to do a lot of changes there like that, it makes that timing quite a bit longer too.
Huh. The other thing I noticed when we were there is there is some really enormous human beings. Like, around here, you know, we're pretty big people. So, like, I'm standing in that room, we're walking around, and there's some, like, really thick sons of bitches. Like, fucking crazy big. And so many.
Yeah, that's what the thing that gets you. There's so many of them.
There's one guy that's a freak. You're like, man, that guy is next level. But there's, like, 14 people that are fucking just jacked. Like, super, super huge.
Like, really jacked. Like, really big upper bodies. That's, we were sitting in the hotel, like, eating breakfast the morning of, I think, and there's, like, a doorway where people are walking through, and Ross and Larry and Adam and I are sitting there, and, like, people keep walking through, guys walking in, and every one of them's huge, and, you know, we're all kind of looking up and seeing, and no one's saying anything, we're just all noticing, and, you know, I can see that everyone's noticing, and by, like, the eighth one, I just said to everyone, I was like, everyone is so fucking big. And, like, they all burst out laughing because it's what we were all thinking. Like, if you ever think you're big, you can just go to, like, a meet like that.
Yeah.
And then you walk away being like, wow, I am not really, no, I am not big. You
know? Yeah. I don't feel narrow that often. Right. But I'm walking around like, I've, like, there's a lot of times I'll walk around the grocery store like, fuck yeah. I go here and I immediately felt like this.
Yeah.
The whole time I was just like, I don't even want to try to pretend like I have any, like, I should just sit down.
Yeah. And there's so many beards and tattoos and
piercings.
I noticed that just from the little I watched. That was a recurring theme.
Also, I think, and there was quite a few people from Omaha Barbell were there, and I think they must have some sort of uniform policy in which you have to have a beard before you get
like,
in the building.
Like, at least as long of a beard as yours, too.
That would be a base level.
Yeah. Like, you have the entry-level beard.
It's like you have to maybe squat 500 pounds before you can come in that gym, and you probably also need at least 4 inches of beard hair.
Yeah. Seriously. Like, I would go there with my baby face, and they'd be like,
get the fuck out of here,
child.
But there was some,
there was some really fucking strong lifts there.
I mean,
we had a guy come out. I think he, one of the guys benched in a shirt, but I think his opening attempt was like 5:45 or something like that.
Yeah, there were some big lifts. This meet, there was a lot of raw. There was some single ply. There's a couple multi-ply guys. And we were all mixed together in flights in this one because there wasn't... I've never done that before, but because there wasn't very many geared guys, you know, just a couple single-ply and a couple multi-ply, we were all together. Also, what they did differently that I'd never done before is the heaviest guys were in the first flight. It was like reverse. And then the women were in the last flight.
Okay.
Which... everyone in the morning, you know, they put the flights out the morning of, like, right before the rules briefing. They post the flights, and every big guy in there is looking around and looking at it like, what the fuck? Like, everyone, you know, all you're just, like, if you've done multiple meets, yeah, like, everyone's like, oh, why are, like that won't work. Like, like, it ends up not being that big of a deal. And the rationale for it was, which makes sense to me after hearing it, and I think it worked out well, is they want that first group of heavy lifters that take quite a while to warm up because they're warming up to bigger weights. They want to give them full control of the warm-up room before they go. And they said they would start the meet late if they have to, if everyone needs more time to warm up. But then... none of that second or third weight class should be in the warm-up room while that first flight is going.
Yeah.
And that way, because otherwise, when those guys are normally in the last flight, they'll be in there dicking around in the warm-up room during, like, you know, when the second flight should be going and kind of, they just monopolize it the whole day.
Yeah, well, and it also probably takes a really long time. Like, if you're going for a 700-pound squat,
right,
like, you're going to need more time. So, like,
then if you're going for a 300-pound squat. Yeah,
so fucking Joe Blow is maybe just trying to get loose between attempts, and you've got some guy that's, like, about to, you know, that's, like, starting his kind of his build to some ridiculous weight.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And he also isn't going to go up to some guy that weighs 400 pounds, you know. Like,
and it's got 600 pounds on the bar, and like, can we strip this down to a blade? So that kind of made sense. But we were squatting, like, max out PR attempts at 9:30 in the morning, which I'm not used to. Yeah. But when I, just as I suspected when we were talking about it, when you get out there and get going, it's completely not relevant for me whatsoever. It's just like...
yeah, it's like at that point, if you're not ready, you're never going to be.
No, there's so much added adrenaline and excitement about competing in a meet. Another thing I thought was weird, I didn't realize this till the end of the day, I never took one bit of caffeine at any point throughout the entire day.
Just crystal meth?
Yeah, just cocaine. And
What was the time frame from your first attempt to the start of deadlifts?
First attempt squat was probably around 9:15 to 9:30. Deadlifts, we were deadlifting by
two,
I would guess.
So it was a pretty fast
Went really, really fast.
Yep.
Which that helps with, you know, what I was just talking about. Like, the downtime in between, you know, from squatting to bench and bench to deadlift was very short. Like, I never hardly sat down, you know.
And I don't think it was too short.
No.
But it was, like, just enough to where it was always, you know, right out there.
Yeah, I really liked it.
Which, I don't know if we'll ever have an experience again, like, the first meet we did together, where it was, I mean, we were in for the long haul would be just a good way to put it. Because I think lifting started at 8, deadlifts started at 8 also.
Like
8 p.m.
It was like a 13-hour day.
I mean, I think we got there at like 7 o'clock for weigh-ins and stuff, 7 in the morning on that meet you're talking about, and I don't think we got out of there until like 9 or 10 at night.
I think we got back to our hotel, which was one block away from the meet. I think we got back to our hotel room at 10 o'clock.
So it was being in one ratty old gym for like 15 hours or something,
which is just mentally defeating. like that's an accomplishment in itself right there.
And also, as a spectator of this meet, I was also really exhausted from having to stand up for that amount of time. We were, me and Thick Nick and Big Shane, we got back you know, it's a 3-hour drive. So we got back and got out. I was like, you know, I am legitimately sore from this experience. Yeah, what else did we do? I think we had a guy down there did squatted 660 in bare knees.
Yeah, really.
242-pound body weight.
Damn. Yep, bare knees. Yep, I think that's what it was.
That was fucking crazy.
That's last year at that meet, that too, there was some, a lot of those guys from Omaha Barbell Squat. That must be kind of a thing for them, is squatting bare knees more than you see around here. So there's a couple 700-pound bare-kneed squatters there last year, too.
Which that's is just unreal.
Like, my knees would just feel terrible.
I don't know. I could maybe do it. I just, it's been so long. But
I mean, not like this week.
Yeah.
But like,
and not the 700-pound part or the 600-pound part, but
just
I,
do
I heavy think I could make a run, at, a run at like max F or even like a really heavy rep day or even heavy single. I don't think it would make a huge difference as far as comfort for me.
And in a meet, I think it still would be.
Yeah, I think you'd block that out when you go into like animal mode.
Right.
I don't know. Is this a stupid question? But for the sake of just keeping your knees warm, I mean, could you just warm up with your sleeves on to keep, you know, keep from cooling off between attempts and then peel them down and you could still knock out a max effort.
I think.
But.
And then for Massonomics guys, big Larry legend. What was your hashtag on Larry today?
Hashtag fear the legend.
Yeah. Larry legend. I think he squatted 573, which is an all-time PR for him. Mm-hmm. So he's just about ready to turn 40 years old and he's still hitting all-time. Yeah, yeah, I mean, he's hitting all-time PRs.
And it's also not like he started lifting.
It's
not like he started lifting powerlifting 5 years ago.
No, 2008, he's been like competing in powerlifting.
Yeah,
he's almost closing in on 10 years.
Yeah, he's hit 573 on his third deadlift attempt. He definitely could have done more than that, but that's still okay. Same.
You mean on his squat?
Yeah. Squat 573. He benched 380, which is only the second time in his life he's benched that much. So it tied an all-time best for that. Deadlift, he did a really easy opener of like 502 pounds. Then he needed 551 would have given him over a 1500 pound total, which he's never done before. So that, you know, we're kind of encouraging him to go for that and knew that he could do it. And so he took 551 on a second attempt and came off the floor good, locked out really easily, like really fast. It was a really fast attempt, but he did like this weird thing. I don't know if it was a balance thing, like the little bit of whip of the bar, because he locked it out so quickly that it kind of like pulled him forward just a smidge off balance.
Just a touch.
Like, I mean,
you have to watch it to even see.
Yeah, you can't even quite put your finger on what it is.
Yeah,
there's just a movement.
Yeah.
What I think happened is so he came up, he lifted up, and then he extended, and I think as he extended, it was locked out, but it was heavy. So I think he came back a little further than he wanted, and then he just kind of set forward. And now we're talking like an inch of the shoulders coming forward, and in doing that. And I'm looking. I did not see the bar come down.
No,
I just saw
his
it was
body
moved.
Out
and his body moved. And
it's like
and,
an illusion.
And he got two red lights on it. And I mean, it looked like such a good lift. I was like,
but was that second or third attempt?
That was second.
Okay.
And then that was in his head, like, because he set it down. Everyone was cheering.
Yeah.
You know, he was jacked up, and it was like two red lights,
and
everyone's
no
like,
idea why.
Yeah, everyone's like,
whoa. Nobody knew.
Yeah.
Why.
So he had, you know, we talked to the judges a little bit, and that's what they said, I guess. And then that was in his head.
Uh-huh.
And then he, you know, retried it on his third attempt, and he broke it from the ground, and he didn't really make a good run at it there. But I really think it was just mental at that point.
Yeah.
And because I think had he gotten the white lights on that 551,
I think
he would have moved up and done more weight. I'm pretty positive he would have done like 10 more pounds from that point.
Yeah.
But because of the mental, like he was, that threw him off for sure.
Yeah.
But that was like anyone that, say if you've never powerlifted, but you understand lifting and you understand a deadlift, you would look at that and be like,
that's a good
why deadlift. Does that not count?
Yeah. Exactly.
Like, I mean, several people, you know, we posted that and several people are like, so what?
Why did he get red lighted? Yeah. Like, I don't understand. And it's not like we just said Larry got red lighted. It was like we posted the video of him lifting and everyone's like, well, I just watched that. What the fuck?
Yeah.
So,
but they did call the deadlifts were really tight, like
really
tight. I didn't think that you could be. I feel like no lifting
starting,
that many.
I feel like that's starting to be more of a new thing to be stricter on deadlifts as far as like lockouts in the knees, holding it firmly.
That was the strictest lift, which you might think would be the least.
Yeah, you tend to think it is just got it or
because,
you don't.
Because I saw some lifts there, and I'm not really interested in like calling anybody out or saying the judging was poor, but like I saw some, there was some squats that like. And again, it's just my angle. Mm-hmm. But there were some squats that were passing that sure as shit looked fucking high. Mm-hmm. And some of the top squats looked high.
Mm-hmm.
And again, close is not a no lift, but it sure looked high to me.
Mm-hmm.
And then and on the bench, there's a lot of thick motherfuckers here who probably have a hard time straightening out their arms. But there was, I would say, 5 of the top 10 heaviest lifts were like really questionable lockouts, like the weight's up, and it's just like, well, you can't just stop there because you could if you didn't have it, just go there and be like, well, what, I'm done, and that was there was like kind of a quite few a of bit those. Of that,
yeah.
And then the deadlifts come and they're just fucking dinging everybody,
where it's like, man, that looks like a good lift,
mm-hmm.
yeah. And I don't think they did a bad job or anything like that, but it was just not, and I don't think it was inconsistent, but I didn't understand it.
Yeah.
You know, I definitely, for me, I kind of just go off of the eye test, which is like, well, that, you know, looks like a lift to me.
Yeah.
I'm going to count it. Because all of them, I guess the gym's not the meat, but every one of the, like Larry's lift,
in 10 a gym, times you'd be out like, of 10. Yeah. Everyone in the gym would say, nice, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. You wouldn't even poke a hole in it. No. Like you wouldn't even mention it.
Right.
But I guess that's why a meat's a meat, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he just missed breaking 1500 for the first time ever. Larry lifts in the 220 class, and he's just a shade under 40. So that's pretty damn good.
Mm-hmm. I think they were just trying to hold him back because they # fear the legend.
So he did good though. He's still getting stronger. Mount Rossmore did the bench only. He weighed in at like 244. So he's in the 275 class because it's 242.
Oh, did he want to try and hit 242?
Not really.
Oh,
he just thought he was even a little heavy. You know that feeling? You kind of been weighing yourself and you think you're a certain weight, but a lot of times when you weigh in your underwear at the meet and everything, you have a tendency to maybe be a little bit lighter than what you're.
Oh yeah.
Well, and what you think?
Well, especially
you weigh.
I think that the night of you kind of have nerves, so your body is just working in overtime, like. You're resting. I think like metabolic state is much. It's just your body's burning
for sure. So he could have easily done that 2 pounds if he want. He didn't care about that anyways. Yeah. He just wanted to do what he could do. First attempt, he did 369, very easy. Second attempt, he did 386, which was pretty solid, easy lift.
It looked easy.
Yeah, it was really easy too. So then, you know, he wanted to break 400, so his selection was probably between 402 and 407. And I went over there with him, and I said 407. That's kind of what he was thinking too. And I said yes. That's what I thought he had too. And he just missed it. He had it, you know, halfway, two thirds of the way, and it just stopped. And you know that, you know, like when it stops, there's not much else that's going to happen then. And the judges said to grab it from him because he struggled there for a while. If you would have done 402, he would have hit it, I don't doubt. Yeah. But I still don't think that was a bad choice.
No, I don't think if he'd have come in and pulled and you know, pushed 402 that he'd have been super happy.
Yeah.
I mean, it would have been okay to go 3 for 3, but I think he would have been maybe I should have tried a little heavier. So
So that was his first meet experience. Yeah. What were his takeaways from it?
I think he really liked it. I think he'll probably be doing more of them. I think he's probably going to do full power soon. Mm-hmm. You know, part of his thought on this is, A, he really likes bench better than any of the other lifts. It's his best lift, so which just makes you like it more. And then, you know, also it was his first meet, so he was kind of thinking it's a way to get a feel for it. And he would have done just fine in full power, too. He could have done that, too. But I think he will do that. And then we had another first-time guy from the gym, Adam. He did well. He lifted in the 181 class. He's never done a powerlifting meet before. He's only been training powerlifting for not even a full year. And he squatted 363 on his second, missed his third at a little heavier, benched 248, which is very easy on his third. He probably could have done well 10, 15 more pounds than that. Deadlifted 418 on his second, tried like 440 on his third, and he got it, but you know, he kind of hitched or ramped it. Like I you couldn't argue with those red lights on that attempt. But so a good meet for him. He totaled over 1,000 pounds, and I think that was kind of his goal going over into his first meet. And then I didn't really bench. I did take one bench attempt at 303 pounds on my first, and I weighed my second and third because of my shoulder, and it felt good and easy. And it's like,
and you said that 300 is the most you've taken on bench in a very long time.
Yeah, in 7 months. Mm-hmm. I mean, but I did it in the gym.
Yeah,
just 5 days before, because I wasn't gonna try more in the meet than I had no interest in making it worse.
Messing yourself up.
Right. So then my deadlift, I took 606 on my opener. It was easy. 633 on my second felt easy. And then I knew I wanted to break 650 on my third. I knew I could get 650 for sure. And I was thinking about going 660, which is 300 kilos. Mm-hmm. In hindsight, I wish I would have done that, but that's easy to say after the fact. I went 650 and it, I think probably if you had a stopwatch, it would have timed exactly the same as my second attempt, so, but I was happy with that.
Well, and Tanner comes and grabs 650, like most guys will get it and they'll grab it and they'll get a little tight. Tanner just grip down, puts his hands on the bar, and then it just starts moving up. I'm like, what the fuck are you doing?
like, you're supposed to mess around with it for a little bit, you know, like kind of like maybe shake the bar up and down.
Where's the ritual here?
Yeah. Well, because like a guy right before me pulled 650, you know, and it was a PR attempt for him, as most you've ever pulled. Yeah. It was actually a national APF record in M1, his weight division. He was just over 40 years old. And he was much more outwardly intense than me. Very nice guy, really cool guy, but very like, you know, shaved head, huge beard, nose rings, tattoos everywhere, a tattoo of Mike Tyson on his thigh, you know, very short singlet. And he comes up there and he's like grabbing the bar. And
and it wasn't just that guy. There's quite a few guys like, there's so many people that like will lift differently, you know, like you'll have guys that'll come out and be just kind of calm, you know, they just know what they have to do, and they'll go there and they just get, you know, it's a process for them. And then there's some people that have to have their headphones on until literally the moment they hit the nose torque, and then the headphones come off and they fucking come screaming out there, and everyone's get, you know, like that's the way you have to lift at like some weird level of adrenaline. Yeah. And that was the way that guy was. He comes out and is just fucking. It was pretty wild. But then Tanner comes up and is just like, okay, I'm just going to put this.
So it was two very different. And he also deadlifts more differently than I do. He very good form, but he jerks it very fast off the floor. Mm. Like, he doesn't round his back by any means or anything, but he, like, it's a very violent movement off the floor. Mm-hmm. You know, and mine's a lot different than that. You know, mine's a slower pull at that first part of it. And, but so they look two lifts that look very, very different, but I should have done more than that, but there's always next time.
Yeah, I suppose.
And I think I totaled, 1538, which would technically be my worst total ever by 10 pounds. My first meet, I totaled 1548 and this was 1538, but my bench was down 137 pounds from last year. Yeah. If I would have had the same bench, I would have been 1675, which would be a huge PR. And I think next year, this same meet, I'll break 1700.
Yeah.
As long as I
deadlift and squat go up, bench gets
It could even be down slightly from last year, and I think I could still do that. So I'm happy with that.
Yeah. So now we got a much bigger crowd for the next meet, right? Tommy, you're lifting. Ryan's lifting. Tanner, you're not lifting. You haven't decided
probably
yet?
Not. Probably not. I mean, I am going to do the strongman, so I'd really have to get really stupid.
It's a lot to handle.
I'd have to be really, really dumb to do it, but
no one ever said you were smart
exactly,
for it.
Exactly. If the stars align, it could happen.
So who else do we have lifting in March? We've got Tommy,
Ryan,
I think Corey,
Larry.
Larry is for sure. Thick Nick is out now, obviously.
That's right.
Big Jake will be doing it. I think Ross probably is going to.
Oh, is he?
Full power, I'm pretty sure. I don't think he's officially signed up, but that's kind of the way he's talked that he will.
Yep. Did you say Adam was going to?
Adam is going to, too.
Shit. And so I go and we go meet at Shane's before we hit the road. And as I...
Did you find his house because there's a statue of Arnold out front?
I did not. Actually, It was dark. It was that early in the morning, so I had a very difficult time finding his house. But I get there, and I'm like, fuck, Shane's wearing his black Massonomic shirt, too. And I'm looking through all my Massonomic shirts, and I was sure that, like, well, he'll probably wear this one or this one. Nope, he wore his black Massonomic shirt.
I figured he was going to be sporting the Massonomics as numero uno.
I wish he would have.
Yeah.
So then we wait for Thick Nick, and Thick Nick comes in, and he's wearing his black Massonomic shirt. I'm like, fuck. Well, I guess we're just those guys. Better three of us do it than two.
Yeah.
You
don't want to look like a couple or anything.
Yeah. And then
we get to the meet, and Tanner, Ross, Adam are all wearing...
And Larry
are all wearing their black. So, and the issue wasn't so much that we were all wearing the matching shirt, because there's lots of people on teams and stuff like that wore the matching shirts. The problem is we try so hard to offer a diverse amount of shit in our store. Like, we're not some cut rate fucking website here that just has one t-shirt you can buy. You know, we've got kind of a pile of different offerings, and here we're all wearing the exact same thing. Original shirt. But yeah, there was I'm trying to think of what other teams. There was a Pitt Powerlifting.
Yeah.
They had a few lifters there. Omaha Barbell.
Jim from Spearfish, South Dakota. Can't remember the name of the gym. They had a ton of lifters there. A lot of strong people. Big Iron in
Was that with that Big Lucas? What's his name?
Yeah. Lucas Bonefield.
Yeah, he's a big boy.
He's a super heavyweight. Very strong guy.
Lucas makes me look small when I stand next to Lucas. And then so
great
Lucas,
story, yeah.
Lucas has a picture of he lifted it. Was it Wyoming?
Wyoming State USAPL.
And ran into Blaine Sumner there. And so he has a picture of him next to Blaine Sumner. And he pulls his picture up. And Lucas is big. He's probably 6'7", probably, what's he weigh?
335, yeah.
Thick son of a bitch, you know. And so he pulls up this picture of Blaine Sumner, and Blaine Sumner is twice as wide as Lucas.
Like, twice Lucas as wide. Literally looked like a tiny.
That's what was crazy to me. So I see this picture, and I'm like, initially, I'm like, well, that must have been 5 or 10 years ago before Lucas started eating.
Yeah.
You know, because my first reaction was like, well, when did you gain all this weight? Yeah.
Like, you could literally hold the picture right here and have him stand right here, and you're like, what? that's not right.
So apparently Blaine Sumner is like the size of two Coke machines.
Yeah. like and it was like a angled view of Blaine, so you could see his width and his other width or you know
his depth.
Yeah, his depth and his width.
It was
the same both directions.
It was like Sumner cubed. It was fucking crazy.
That is nuts though.
Yeah, man.
Like when you see a man you would consider to be huge.
Mm-hmm. By a mile the biggest person
at this powerlifting meet of really big people.
And not even really wasn't anybody in close second.
No.
I mean, Sumner's twice the man that Lucas was. Like, twice.
Yeah.
It was fucking... I don't even understand
I suppose the only time you can really even... I'm trying to think of, like, videos and pictures I've seen of Blaine Sumner, and probably the thing that gives you the best feel for that is when he's benching, just the thickness of person on the bench. Like, it's like, that's a couple feet of person laying down right there.
Right.
And he doesn't have, like, a next level arch. So it's just it's just like, no, that's a just all mass. That's just all dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. That powerlifting meet was a lot of fun, though, too, and something that I was thinking about, too. If you've never done a meet and you're on the fence about it, it's just a really good experience. It's a lot of fun, and you see all these really big guys, and your first most of them look angry and mean, like not nice. And like if you, 99% of them, if you say one word like, oh, hey, or where are you from? Or what's your attempt on this? It's like, they're your new best friend.
Yeah.
You know, like yeah. Seriously, every person I've ever powerlifted with outside of, I don't know, maybe every single one, like at a meet that I've ever gone out of my way to say anything to ends up being really nice and interested in your lifting. And, yeah. So if you're willing to maybe even just like say one word to a bunch yeah. of people, you'll walk away with like a lot of, at least, I don't know, friends or contacts or acquaintances that yeah. probably know more than you know, or, you know, you get mm-hmm. to learn things that you don't know about. And also it's super, super encouraging. Like, If you're also like you don't have a lot of confidence about your lifting or anything like that, like it doesn't matter what weight you're doing. If you go up there and get it, when you walk away, you're going to walk past like 30 other lifters that are all like high-fiving you
yeah,
and
yeah, everyone's excited hit you
on
for
the
you.
Back like, oh, nice lift, man, nice lift. Like they don't even care what the weight is.
Well, and it's kilos, so yeah. no one really knows anyways. Like, it's like you don't even really know what you're lifting.
Right. And plus some of the plate sizes are so weird that like I don't even know. Like I didn't know if some of the smaller guys were lifting a ton, like if they were just yeah. lifting so much weight or if the plates were just weird. I really couldn't tell. No, there were some bigger guys that got outlifted by some little like
yeah.
So it just didn't matter. I think everybody there just kind of appreciates the grind of it, you know.
For sure. Mm-hmm. So yeah, there's like no negativity surrounding it whatsoever. I would say not that I experienced.
Even when people got. You know, dinged by the judges. Like, there really wasn't that. Nobody was like, what the fuck?
No.
Fuck all this.
You right.
know? And if you do have that attitude, then you probably need to find something else to do.
Yeah, exactly. Like, nobody else is likes people yeah. like that there. And, you know, it's...
Because no one's going to remember your weird state record that you set at your weight class for your
yeah.
age
in yeah, your exactly.
equipment division.
That's... You have to take all of that with a grain of salt and yeah. stuff, too. It's... Yeah, I understand it, and... I understand both sides of that too, yeah. you know, like it's motivating in some ways or it keeps mm-hmm. people, gives people incentives to do things, but some of it's ridiculous without yeah. a doubt.
Well, it can be important to you
yeah.
if you want to hold
yeah.
the national record for men aged 30 to 31 and a half
that
without any tattoos that weigh exactly on the pound.
That 247.3 pounds yeah,
to 248.3 pounds,
which they probably don't even weigh that because with this one it's a 24-hour
yeah,
weigh-in.
24-hour
so
weigh-in.
Your
yeah,
weight
yeah.
isn't. It's like just a total.
That's true. We didn't take advantage of the 24-hour weigh-in yeah. though. We went like 12-hour weigh-in. So,
but like you
our
said,
extreme cuts didn't really pay off.
Yeah. Like you said yesterday though, you're like. It's powerlifting. We all got first.
The guy that near at my knees and stuff, he didn't stay for the awards and he texted me and asked me like how we ended up. And I accidentally sent that to you in yeah. response. I was like, well, you know how we did. It's powerlifting. We all got first. It's like someone this morning, like my father-in-law, they were over and they asked me how I did. And they're like, oh, I got first place. And they're like, oh, nice. How many people are left? And, oh, 55. Got first place. Like, me and everyone else.
55
like,
people got first place.
All right.
You think about it, there's what? There's 10 weight classes around there?
Yeah. Just wait. Stop right now. We have to do an emergency sack segment.
All right. Okay. All right.
So.
Emergency sack segment. Like, like this sack needs to be emptied right now.
Immediately. So.
I feel like that's something his wife has heard.
Emergency sack.
Listen, Mary, the sack needs to be empty.
All right, Tommy, close your eyes.
Okay, they're closed.
Tyler's already seen it, so
my eyes are closed.
All right, just wait. All right,
hold out your hands. What do you feel there? You know, my guess wants to be a trophy. But I don't know what I'm feeling, though. It's round. It feels like it has a base to it.
Is it hairy?
It's kind of hairy. It's sort of warm. I don't know. Can I take a look?
Yeah, you can take a look.
Oh, very cool.
So this is it doesn't matter that it's my trophy. I just wanted to bring this in to talk about powerlifting trophies, you know,
yeah.
which we were starting to talk about, so that's why it was an emergency.
Because there is only... three powerlifting trophies that exist in the world.
Well, at least I think this is cool. And with the, you know, it's not like a bodybuilder flexing, which kind of isn't the same trophy for power. I mean, that right. trophy doesn't exactly carry over to powerlifting, but yeah, it's cool. A 50 kilo plate.
Mm-hmm.
It's sweet.
But and more even I also did want to talk about what we're talking about right now, but more like the idea of trophies that, and medals at powerlifting, what we were starting to talk about. So theirs was 55 lifters. The table had 90 medals and trophies on it. And that's, I'm not exaggerating the number.
That is the
I
actual
counted.
Number.
There yeah. was.
Well, and then when you think of it though, it's like, it's really hard to even like get fifth. Like it's probably more of an accomplishment to get fifth than it is to get first.
It's because if you got fifth, go ahead.
Because
yeah.
there's, so we'll just say there's 10 weight classes. I don't know. There's probably, depending on men or, well, just for men. So we're talking just men right now. So there's probably around 10 weight classes?
Yeah, I think there's 8 or 9.
Okay.
If I was
We're going to call it 10 for yeah. the sake of even.
Okay,
it might be 10. It might be 10.
So we'll say 10 weight classes, and then there's, at least in this one, there's probably just like a open and then like a master's division. They probably don't have teen and all that stuff, do they?
Well, they do because there was a 16-year-old kid there. There was a 16-year-old kid that squatted almost 550 and deadlifted like 550. Pretty
impressive. So then those 10 weight classes then have...
He deadlifts like 560 something.
Okay, yeah.
So then have, what, three options? A teen, an open, and then a master one, possibly more master options.
Yeah,
so
more.
So let's get split four ways there.
Yep.
And then on top of those four divisions, you can do equipped, or multiply, single ply, classic raw, and raw. So now we've...
Times every one of those other things you just mentioned.
Yeah.
And,
right?
And then that's just men. And now you do the same thing for women. And there's literally...
Hundreds
of...
I think 100. I mean, over 100, I would think. Because 10 weight classes.
Yeah.
And four different groups. That's 40. Men and women, that's 80. But that's not counting masters. All the different masters of all those weight classes. So yeah, there's hundreds. So
and then when you consider their teams, and then how
if
many
they had, so I suppose they don't just, I mean, they're not just like running awards out ahead of time. So depending on the people that sign up,
I think there might be like 400
possible things you could
possible do. Classes or something like,
yeah. Yeah. And that's just the men. That's not considering the women's side.
Right.
So then when
Which
you see like
equals 800.
Yeah. And then when you see a meet has, you
50,
know, like how many
70.
Men were actually in this meet? Then?
It was 2/3 men.
Yeah,
I suppose so.
Yeah,
35.
Well, there's two flights of men, one of women, and the women's flight was full.
Yeah,
it was a
there's
full.
About 15 women and 40 guys, or
yeah,
35 and 20.
So did everybody get, by my math, what would that be, like 17 or 18 trophies?
Well,
or did it like
they
one
didn't
guy
give them
get...
all out?
Okay,
and technically they don't even. I mean, once everyone signed up, you know how many trophies to get.
Yeah.
But other than that,
you
don't know how many trophies to get because it just depends like on who signs up. And that's also why this trophy doesn't say...
Well, and who's going to make weight of their class.
Classic, raw, you know.
Oh, we forgot. There also was would have been the bench only.
Oh, yeah.
Every single category we
bench
described.
Only, deadlift only, and push-pull.
Oh, really?
Of everything we already talked about times three, there's thousands of possibilities.
Our 800 yeah. potential trophies for this one meet with 55 competitors turns into times three. That's, I'm no math scientist. What is that? 2,400 potential
options. And that's not like hating on this.
No, only the men.
Yeah.
Which means there could be 4,800 trophies for this one meet if enough people
which,
show
which
up.
Which the USAPL is just as guilty of it because they have teen one,
it's
teen
just powerlifting,
two,
yeah.
teen three, open, master one, master two, master three. They do make it slightly easier in that your options are raw or equipped, but they also segment out your age by like eight profiles, essentially.
Right. And then there's blonde, brunette, short hair. There's the white people only division, a highly contested division.
And the funniest thing is the USAPL has, they have like teen one, it's teen one, two, and three, right?
And junior.
And then on top of that, they also have high school and collegiate. Yeah. And they have a armed forces division too, or a military division. It's just like, what's the point?
So what I want to know is, so let's say we counted, there was 90 trophies that were there for this. At the moment that everybody had signed up,
had everyone won a trophy?
How many of those trophies were already basically assigned to a person? You know what I mean? Like the master in this weight class has already got it. You know,
judging by, well, you could tell because second and third place also received awards. So any weight class that they announced that had no second or third place,
they already might as well. They already had the sticker.
And I would say that was 75% of them.
That's crazy.
And then I do think there may have been people there. If you were number four, if you were in a weight class of four, which would have had to have been open in order for there to be that many, there was some that got out all three. So, and I'm not sure if there may have been people there in that, like possibly that fourth or fifth spot that did not receive an award.
Did they just send them home with an extra one just to be
<They're> like, sorry. Like, and you could, if you wanted to pay $75 more per, you could sign up for full power, bench only, deadlift only, and push pull. You could just do your regular meet, but sign up for all of those. And if you were a certain age, you could sign up for open and masters. Mm-hmm. You could win 6 first place and best lifter. You could get 7 trophies, I think, 7 or 8 trophies. That's for awesome. Just competing the Which, one meet.
When you think about it, it's kind of weird because I don't know of any other really athletic organizations or bodies that segment things that much. Like, just trying to think of things from like a testing your body standpoint, like to me, track and field is kind of a good comparison. Mm-hmm. And there's not, I mean, first of all, there's not really a amateur track and field organization, but at the same time, they're not organizing it by, all right, this is men's track and field from
I wish they didn't organize 19 to 30.
Yeah, I'd be crushing these motherfuckers. Yeah. That's the interesting thing though, is if you think about like, well, what if this is actually a problem. And I don't know that it is maybe a problem. Well,
that's my point. But I'm not even saying this is good or bad.
Yeah.
Like, I can make an argument for both ways.
This is the most I've ever thought about it, though. Yeah.
But it is interesting. So if you think about if this is a problem, and I don't know that it is, what is the solution? Because the reason that they have the weight classes segment, you know, 10 weight classes, let's say you cut that to 5. Well, is that fair to the people in the bottom
I get the weight class. That one doesn't really bug me.
But the deal is, so let's say they do that. Well, that's maybe not fair to the people at the bottom of the weight class. Well, we are at a point now where it's fair because we're giving everyone fucking trophies. Like, you know what I mean? And it's that's not like the participation, but that's what ends up happening. Right. Either you need way more people to show up, like to really flood the deal to make it matter. I don't know what like a solution would be to it. Or you just do away with all the master stuff, or you do away with all the push pull bench only. Like you're going to come and you're going to do it.
That's what I think, you know. I mean, yeah, it's tough. Or, you know, and then also all the different raw, multiply, single ply and all that. But there's always some people that want to do
these and there's federations that don't do all of those too.
Right.
So that, I mean, that's part of the way of filtering it, I guess.
Right. And, you know, I think like within this podcast, we tend to look at all these things pretty objectively, you know, say Tommy and I powerlift, you do CrossFit, you know, we do strongman, but we're not afraid to call something like
stupid
if it's stupid. Like if you think something in CrossFit stupid, you'll say it's stupid.
For
You know, if we think something's in powerlifting stupid, we're not afraid to say that we think it's stupid. Mm-hmm. And you know, this is one of those things that's probably
it's definitely convoluted. It definitely gets pretty convoluted. I don't know what, like I said, I don't know. The problem is, it's probably just the way these. Like this particular federation might just be structured is that, well, we do allow all of these things. And you're not going to have in South Dakota, you're not going to have a meet that is only multiply.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you could do only multiply, no other things, just full meet, only multiply, split to weight class, and it wouldn't get weird. Wouldn't be weird. But the problem is how many people are going to show you that. And if you're going to do just raw, is a third of the people going to show?
If you live in Southern California, you can probably do these different things where you're drawing from a pool of thousands of lifters.
And you could put on a meet like this and have 500 people show up.
And you could be just multiply, no masters, or you could have a just master. Olympic weightlifting, they have masters only.
Yeah.
Where there's no open division, it's just all the masters, their own separate thing. In South Dakota, in powerlifting, you can't segregate it like that because you'll have four people come and
it's crazy that we even have two meets.
Yeah,
from any federation, right. It's crazy. Oh well, we've got two meets. Well, what are the if you ask me what federation do you compete in or what type? It's like whatever we can get to. It's like that's multiply only. Well, I guess I'm gonna figure that out. Yeah. That's the only reason you lifted in knee wraps.
It's Yeah, it's either that or bare knees at this meet, and I was like,
I guess I'm just gonna use wraps. And you don't train with wraps; it's not probably anything that you're into.
No, I'm not. I'm going to continue to not train with wraps, and I'll do it again next year.
I'll see you next year.
Yeah. But it's a powerlifting meet, so you're just gonna do it. You know, if the rule was you had to squat with one leg, and you're like, well, I guess this is what I'm doing because it's a fucking powerlifting meet and it's near me.
Right. If I got to the if I was totaling 2,000 pounds, I'd probably drive 8 hours to go do a powerlifting meet that fit all of my perfect wants and preferences. Until that point, it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm.
Which at the rate you're going is probably going to be in about 6 months.
I don't know if that's quite right. But, on the positive side of this trophy thing, kind of what we're talking about here, not that many people powerlift if you look at the general public. Mm-hmm. And if that's what it takes to get people, if that makes people, at the end of the day, I feel like, well, this is pretty cool. I get to take this home and I get to show my spouse or my kids or my, my friends that don't know about powerlifting. It's like, well, I won something, and I had fun and this is something that I get to remember that by. If that gets more people interested in it, that's definitely a good thing.
Yeah.
But, and I think also the people that, if I wouldn't have got a trophy, that's not going to affect my outcome on how I enjoy powerlifting and stuff like that. And that I got one doesn't affect it. But there are probably some people that did it for the first time ever and like, wow, I got to win something. I don't normally get to win something.
Does any of them give out any money?
Not locally, but no. They do.
They are on a national level. Yeah. Ones that you can find that you get a sponsor back. I mean, our little strongman thing we throw together can give out money. I don't know why powerlifting meets couldn't.
Well, our strongman thing gave out more money than a vast majority of powerlifting.
Our strongman competition gave out more money than
World Strongest Man.
World Strongest Man, I think. Or at least literally other than the Arnold and the World Strongest Man, I think Massonomics Strongman Showdown is probably the third highest press. And this next year is going to be bigger. We've already had people ask us to offer to try to really sweeten the pot.
Right.
Sure, but I have to find a way for me to win.
Well, we make it an invitational.
So it's basically going to be me and Tanner, and then we're going to get a bunch of since there's no weight class, we're going to get a bunch of 135-pound teenagers.
Yeah, with the grand prize being a Buick 88.
$10,000 cash from an unnamed sponsor.
But talking about that, Zadrunas had won Arnold 8 times, and for several years they were giving away a Hummer because they used to do the Hummer tire deadlift. So he won 5 Hummers. And
I'm sure in Lithuania they don't even fit.
He said it is ridiculous. So he does not own any. He sold all of them.
Yeah.
Like he owns no Hummers.
Part of my understanding is
and he just wanted the money.
Is that if you win like a car, say you win a $50,000 car, you still have to pay the taxes on what that vehicle is worth.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say you're broke. Yeah. And you win a car.
It does you no good.
Your only option is to sell that fucking car because you're going to pay 20% in taxes.
Well, same thing with when Barry Bonds is getting close to breaking the home run record that whoever caught the ball was going to be liable for the taxes
to sell it.
Yeah, because, this is the new world record home run ball. And it's worth to someone tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands. Right. And so you are – I think I remember them saying that you're on the line for paying the taxes on that.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Welcome to Massonomics, CPA. What else did we have here for today, guys?
Did you have any other things about the meat you wanted to cover, Tanner?
Oh, one other interesting, not related to anything specific, but just a funny thing that struck me as really true when he said it. In a powerlifting meet, we were warming up in the warm-up room. Another guy I had never met before, we were just kind of talking. Like, we were talking about openers, a couple different things. I guess openers versus your opening weight on the platform versus your last attempt you take in warm-up. This guy and I were both, he was opening a little lighter than me. I think I opened at 606 on deadlifts, and he opened maybe at 580 or something like that. The last attempt that he took in warm-ups was like under 500 pounds, mm-hmm. like 455 or something like that.
So he was making over 100 pound jump.
Yeah, and the last that I took in warm-ups was 545. You know, and I was making a 50-pound jump. And I think that I don't know that there's right or wrong or that, but that's just kind of a personal preference thing. But he said he really likes to do that, to, like, make a very large, like, jump. He does not like to work up very close to his opener.
Mm-hmm.
But the funnier thing that he had mentioned that I thought really was true is, like, the most stressful part about a powerlifting meet is trying to time your warm-ups in the warm-up room.
Yeah.
Because, and I was like, God, that is so true. Like, because by the time I get out to the platform, I'm not stressed. Like, I'm ready to, you know, I'm ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not worried about anything. It's just like, then it's time to lift. But the worst part is the warm up and kind of like working in with, you know, 10 other people trying to work in on the same one or two pieces of equipment,
mm-hmm.
and trying to figure out your timing of when, you know, you don't want to be taking your last warm up 10 seconds before you go out to take your opener, and you don't want to take it 15 minutes before your opener. And that just kind of seemed like a true thing to me.
I wouldn't even know how to approach it. You know, for me, like if I ever had anything, normally if you're trying to like set a gym PR,
it's on your watch.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, well, exactly. I don't feel like it. Now I'm going to do it. And then, you know what I mean? It's all on you. And you have no control. Like, if you're starting, you have no control over actually what time you'll be on the platform. Mm-hmm. If it's 15 minutes from now, 7 minutes from now, or 20 minutes from now.
Right.
All of that can change based on things that are out of your control starting now. That would be the most stressful thing for sure. And I'm kind of a control freak anyways. So I would sit there and be like, I'm ready. What the fuck?
This well, and then like up. You want to do 4 plates on the deadlift. Someone else is stripping it down to 1 plate.
Mm-hmm.
The guy that wants to go after him wants to go to 6 plates. And you're like, when can I do my 4? You know, like, yeah. It's like, I want to go now, you know?
Yeah.
I do think for someone doing their first meet, that would be like the hardest. That's probably one of the hardest things.
I know my first meet, I was lucky enough to, the flight that I mean, it was the same meet that you did, but
yeah.
I was in a different flight than you guys, and being lighter, I had to go first too,
mm-hmm.
or before you guys. And I was lucky enough that in my flight, there was a guy that had competed. I would say he's probably done at least 8 meets. And so with that, he completely was like guiding it. He basically just was like, all right, just do what I do, or just go on my timing here. And then he'd go look and see, oh, we're going too fast. Slow it down. So then it's like, I'm going to take your word because I have no idea. And it worked out really well. And I can't imagine doing any of my stuff if this guy didn't show me the first time, because you have no idea. Like, when they're warming up, you know, it's all right. There's like, in our case, I think there was like 12 girls in the flight before us. And all right, you know, they're just starting their second attempts. All right. So you still got a lot of time. Starting third attempts. All right. We should probably start kind of getting through where we want to be with warm up, so that the minute they get done, you can go right out there. And
mm-hmm.
There is an art to it for sure.
Yeah. I think if it's your first time, you need someone to help you on your first one.
Yep.
Like, otherwise you're going to be like, if you don't have someone, you have to just find someone that's there that's probably done it before and ask them what to do,
mm-hmm.
when to do it.
I think
least.
I would just half-ass my warm-up. I'd just go through and I'd do it, and I'd be like, okay, well, I did my things. I hit all the things I wanted to do, and now I'm just going to be out here and get cold, and that's just what's going to happen. Kind of like every time we did every strongman competition we do. We'd go out and we'd do some air squats, a little stretching out, but like, I never lift anything fucking heavy until you just get out there and grab it.
Yeah.
And it's a miracle none of us get hurt. But the plate loading thing is weird too, that they do it that way, in that, like, I do think the thing that makes the most sense is the way they do it in Olympic weightlifting, is they just start at the lowest opener. So you choose what your opener is going to be, and more weight gets put on the bar constantly. There's no going back. There's no changing off. You get in when you get in, and then you pick your next one, and you may wait between there, but like, there's no it was crazy. There's people coming out doing like 600 pounds, and then someone got coming out benching 250 pounds.
Right. Well, and, within the flight,
because I was there's still some of that goes on where they kind of changed on the fly. Because I know that's happened to me.
So they do. That is the way it's supposed to be within the flight, and even within your first and second and third attempts, they can reorder. They'll reorder it.
And that's something that got me on my first meet ever. I got used to. I think the guys I was lifting around in my flight, we were all kind of like. It just worked out that every time when the flight would start, the guys, just our jumps were keeping everyone in the same line. Like this guy just benched more than everyone the whole time. This guy deadlifted more than everyone or whatever, or squatted more. But when we got to the deadlifts, what maybe some people started low, some people took some really big jumps, and all of a sudden they changed the order. Yeah. So when I was so used to going after John.
Like, wait, I'm before him. Yeah, I need to get going.
I've been going after Johnny the whole time, and so I'm like, Johnny hasn't gone yet, so I'm just waiting, and then the bar's loaded for me, and it's like, oh, shoot, I'm going to get out there.
Because he took a bigger jump on third than you did.
His third attempt was a big jump, and I didn't realize that in my first meet
And I think like at a weightlifting meet, if there's enough people, you know, all you're doing is watching for the number.
Yeah.
You know? So, all right, so there's this, you know, right now there's six in there, depending on, you know, they can change them, but like, you kind of know once the weight starts getting up towards what you're doing.
Yeah.
I apologize, guys. We do have a bunch of white noise here. My furnace is running. I think it was running earlier in the episode, too, that I forgot about. So
I didn't even notice.
I didn't either until right now.
I hear it in my ears now.
I still have no snare in my headphones.
Not farting on no goddamn snare drum. what else do we have, guys? We are at our hour. Unless we want to Joe Rogan this and go three deep.
Oh, super! What's your Super Bowl prediction? So when this comes out, people can know how
stupid I am. Yeah. I think I'd be foolish.
Super Bowl Sunday,
bet money against the Patriots. I'd be foolish to.
What's the score? What score?
Because Super Bowls normally are not good games.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go with like 17-3. Nah,
Patriots.
No, I'm gonna go 20-10.
These are both pretty good offenses, though. Here we're.
So what's your prediction, Tommy?
See, I think, first of all, I do not care at all about this game.
I don't either.
I really don't. I haven't watched the Patriots or the Falcons play a single game this year.
Uh-huh.
Patriots, we'll say. And I don't know for the score. I have no idea.
Would it be like 37-10?
Yeah.
Actually, I was going to say Patriots, and I'll say 34-13.
And if one of us is right, we get a trophy.
Six trophies.
And for the two of us that are wrong, we get
a trophy.
A trophy also.
Yeah. I'm younger than you guys, so I'm in a different age division.
You get a couple trophies. You get a trophy no matter what.
Well, and I get Masters.
Taller.
Yeah, that's true. I'm 32 and I'm taller, so I get Masters and the 3XL division.
That's true.
Yeah. Everybody wins.
Yeah.
Except the Falcons, apparently, according to us. So thanks a lot for listening, guys. That will do it for us today. I'm going to see if I can zoom in on this screen here. Make sure you go to massonomics.com. Go to
Holy
the store.
Shit, that's a good-looking website.
That's a great-looking website.
Oh, my God. I want to buy stuff from there.
You click this shop now link.
How do you buy stuff on here?
You click the shop, then you buy some shit. We still have the Weekend Warrior. Oh, man, guys, my Wi-Fi sucks.
Oh, my God, that is an amazing looking array of apparel options.
It's going to be funny if this video just doesn't sort out, though, and all this talk is useless. But you can buy yourself some of this sweet stuff here. Also, scroll to the bottom of the page right there. Give us
what
your email
you
newsletter. We'll keep you in the loop on all sorts of cool stuff that we're doing.
Look at that lift shirt.
That is really
thing of beauty.
Sweet. I went through the whole read on this last time, but just to let you know, it is actually brewed to perfection. It's fantastic. So, but that'll do it for us today. Make sure you go to the website, buy some shit, sign up for the newsletter. Make sure you like our Facebook page. Also, make sure you go to youtube.com/massonomics and click subscribe now that we're rocking the video. That's probably the hottest place to follow us. Go to iTunes, leave us a 5-star review. And is there anything else we need them to do? We're not asking for much, just your money and to sign up for all this shit and do all this stuff.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, I think if they listen to the podcast and have never checked out the video, you should try it out once.
Yeah, for sure. And if you do listen to the podcast, and we know how many people listen to the podcast, and it's way more than have left us 5-star reviews.
The numbers are close, but it's...
Well, not really, no. Because I do know that we have...
Close to being like 1%,
I think. Yeah, I was going to say, I think there's 200 times the viewers are the...
We are into the many thousands. This is not an exaggeration. Yeah. Many thousands of listens a month.
Normally, we just exaggerate all these to ridiculous numbers, yeah, but that's like, actually true.
We accurately have like many thousands of people listen to this a month, just on the podcast, audio only. And I think we've got 15... 5-star ratings. Yeah. So get your shit together,
you know, we've
guys.
Been asking for these for a couple of weeks now, and those episodes are probably just coming out. So I'm going to assume like next week the ratings are just going to come piling in, and we'll have we'll probably have a whole episode of just reading reviews.
We're going to read the reviews.
Leave us one. If you leave us a 1-star review and you're an asshole, we'll probably give you more time. But I would like to discourage you from doing that.
Well, had you guys checked the reviews lately, just in case they're
I haven't. I'm just assuming.
I checked a couple of days ago. There wasn't anything good.
No good ones.
I did also notice. I watched one of our podcast episodes. I was just checking out some numbers on YouTube, and it is a weird thing for guys like us who do, you know, a podcast and video, audio. We do a bunch of online content. We're kind of, you know, do internet things, and yet I got one thumbs down vote on one of our YouTube fucking videos, like one thumbs down on one of our podcasts, and I fucking stewed. I was like, how do I find out who did that? Like, is there a metric that I can find out who gave me that downvote? So if you did do that, you fuck off.
Yeah.
And you know what we should probably...
I think we need thicker skin.
We did have a review. We have a review from January 30th.
Oh.
So that would be...
That's like
4 days
two
ago?
Days,
yeah. Like
4 days ago?
So should I read it?
Do it.
Better.
All right. From...
How many stars?
5 stars.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, I'm so surprised we actually have like a new review. So are we really going to read it like we've been saying? Or are we just going to say, fuck these guys?
We better read it as long as it's
I'm
good.
Excited.
Okay, it's... The title of it is Powerful! Exclamation mark, and it's a 5 out of 5, and it's from Big K_D, Big KD. Hmm. As a newbie to working out, this show has provided helpful insights so that I can maximize gains and reach my personal goals.
Holy shit, that's like a real review.
I think that's either that someone trying to be funny that they went really real. Like, they're trying to be so funny that they're like, I just have to make it really realistic.
If you're real, Big K_D, we're happy to have helped.
Yeah.
If you're not, thanks, though, because nobody else is going to read that and no one know any different.
Yeah.
You know,
aren't you surprised that it was, like, a really real-sounding review and not just, like...
Not the ones that we wrote?
Yeah.
Like, they didn't use any weird, like, lifting slang talk or anything. No. It was just, like, a person talking.
And they also didn't make it sexual, which we encourage.
Right.
Well, yeah. So on that note,
there is one
us.
Other thing, though. Uh-oh. We, as long as we're on the topic of feedback and ratings and stuff, people are one man did leave us a comment on an article.
A real.
Oh,
real
yeah, that's right.
And
yeah.
He listens to the show. And then we talk about how no one leaves comments, and he left us a comment. That's we right. did, we never, didn't ever. I just remembered that.
Did we? No, I think I responded to it, didn't I?
Yeah, it was on the website.
The hard part is so. I'd still encourage, we get, if you comment on an article, we do see it and we usually try to respond.
On the website. Yeah.
I do wonder though, like, if you leave a comment on an article and I reply to it, it's
Does
not like
it
they get
anyone.
A fucking email.
Yeah,
so it's
they
like,
don't know.
And I never read the same article twice. So I don't know, if you left a comment on our, on an article of ours, go back and check it.
Yeah, because we'll try and make sure we respond. If you, on Facebook, of course, you'll see a notification. We try and we certainly respond. If it's not like a dickhead comment, we'll respond to it for sure.
And if it is a dickhead comment, we chill for a little bit, and we try to find the best approach, and we decide if either Sean's is going to handle this one, or mostly we let Tanner do it so it stays fairly PC.
Yeah. Instead of like... All right, listen here.
All right, listen, you fucking idiot. But anyway, you can make sure you like us on Facebook, for sure. Let's start there. But you can follow me on Instagram at Tyler Effinstone. That's Tyler E-F-F-I-N Stone.
Not Tyler Effingston.
Not Effingston. Effingston E.
I think I heard Ryan say that one day. Like, what's Effingston? I mean Effingstone. It's an alias. Effingston. You can find me on Instagram at Tomahawk_D.
Instagram at Massonomics for all your Massonomics Instagram needs.
You got it. All right, thanks a lot for listening, guys, and stay strong.
See ya.
See ya.
Wave to the camera. I don't know which camera. All of the cameras. Peace.
You just heard the Massonomics podcast. With your ears, you're welcome. Check us out on Facebook, find us on Instagram at Massonomics, and make sure you visit Massonomics.com and buy some of that sweet Massonomics gear. From your friends at Massonomics Studio, home of the world's strongest podcast, stay strong.